Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. A happy New Year's to all of you out there. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am joined by Mr. Brian E. Roach. And Brian, how you doing, my friend, on this New Year's Eve as we preview, I suppose, what we hope to be Sunday's upcoming 1 o'clock game between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm giggling because, well, the Browns facilities right now in Berea are shut down due to COVID and all these other things. And, you know, we'll get into that. But first of all, Brian, how you doing? Are you excited to jump into 2021 and get away from 2020?
To me, it's the same. What difference does it make? It's just a number. The same crap is still going to be going on.
Yeah, exactly. I know. We're trying to put it, you know, trying to put it in a rear view. Somebody actually had a meme that said it's 2021, WON, as in victory. It's just like, oh no, don't do that.
The thing I found the most amusing was, and I know we're going to get yelled at for having banter again, but
wait, no, we need a record amount. 7 minutes, I don't think, was our record. So
yeah, that wasn't our record. You're
no,
right.
No, we could go longer.
This is now the only time where you can legitimately say hindsight is 2020.
I like it.
And you know, I guess not today, but tomorrow we can say that.
Hey, Brian, my kid had a good one too. What kind of underwear do clouds wear? Thunderwear.
Oh, thunder.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and Big Ben is sitting, and Mason Rudolph is starting, and you enjoy your new year. And okay, yeah, we got some football things to talk about here. I had to throw that out there because if you ever ask, I can't say. Of course, they're around, positioned all over the house, spying on me. The Amazon devices that rhyme with Alexa, and if you ask it to tell you a joke, you'll get much of the thunderwear variety as well as the 2020 hindsight vision. So the future is so bright, you got to wear shades. You may as well throw the filter up here for those who are watching on YouTube. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting us, everyone that's out there. We hear, we read your comments, and I see more than I'd care to see on the internet. Where do I start? Do I start with the Mason Rudolph revenge game here? I had to throw on the jersey. Trying to figure out if I'm going to end up in Cleveland, Brian, on Sunday, because do I wear this or do I wear Joe Hayden? Nobody probably says anything to me if I wear a Joe Hayden jersey, because they liked Joe Hayden there. They don't like that he's a Steeler now, but they liked him when he was a Cleveland Brown, and there's maybe some respect from people who actually have more than a hat rack up here, up there on the Mistake on the Lake. But anyways, if I wear this, I may have people swinging helmets at me. I don't know what's going to happen, so we'll figure out. I may just be sitting couch surfing watching the game as well, so we'll figure that. I'll figure that out in the days to come. It may be the last opportunity to see my favorite football team as well. We really don't know if there's going to be fans next week when the Steelers host a wild card game, and it will be a wild card game. There's going to be 3 wild card games now, as there's 7 teams in the playoffs, and that's where I kind of want to start. Is Mike Tomlin shot out of a cannon here with this press conference and said that Ben Roethlisberger was the only guy he was going to rule out. He was the only one he was committing to saying that on Tuesday. And immediately, some people come out from under a rock. There's a bunch of venom and hate and diatribe and everything else about Mason Rudolph. And I know he's not your favorite quarterback, but I have a few things out here. First of all, let's go all the way deep down off of the bench. Paxton Lynch. For those of you who are asking to see what he's capable of, you could probably hire him on Cameo and get him to do so. Or maybe he has an OnlyFans. I don't know. But you could find him there. He's a free agent. So you can maybe have him come to your New Year's party, a birthday party or something of that nature. You are just ridiculous, man.
I'm being Zacadonia. This is my Zacadonia profile photo.
I think that Brian tries to do all of these crazy special effects on the screen in order to throw me off. But people are like, why don't they get Paxton Lynch or Duck Hodges? Well, Duck Hodges is on the practice squad, so at least he's rostered on an NFL team, technically. Yeah. But he's not the guy getting the reps. The guy getting the reps this week is Mason Rudolph. Josh Dobbs will probably get his helmet for the first time this season. He's been inactive the rest of the time. People are like, why isn't Josh Dobbs the backup? Maybe you've forgotten, but he wasn't on this team last year. Well, he was for like a minute. Lost his job. He lost his job in training camp. He held the ball too long. Preseason statistics were just abysmal from Josh Dobbs. And if you happen to have forgotten, too, there was that ye olde game that kind of set everything askew in 2018, and the Steelers they ended up out of the playoffs. That was up in Oakland with the X-ray machine that wasn't functioning. They had Tomlin did not put Big Ben back in at halftime. At that time, Rudolph was a rookie. They decided they were sitting him as the third stringer for the entire season. He didn't really have any opportunity to compete. In fact, it was Josh Dobbs versus Landry Jones to see who would maybe get a roster spot, right?
Right.
And Landry, they didn't even play him in the preseason. Dobbs had done so well, but he had done well against guys that aren't even in the NFL right now, guys that didn't even make XFL rosters. So let's put that into a little bit of perspective here that, yes, I was very impressed with his leadership and being able to have, what was it, like six scoring drives, I think four of them touchdown drives, but he went 6 of 12. Hold on, I don't think that was all the same game. He did get into like the Carolina game. I think he threw one pass in Baltimore. I guess he called an audible. Everybody immediately called him a genius. But against Oakland, he was 4 of 9, 44.44% completion percentage for a 12 quarterback rating with an interception. And he should have had another one that was thrown. I understand. I always defend the backup quarterbacks coming into a situation hot, like, or cold, I should say, not hot. A hot situation when you're cold. They come off the bench. They're not taking the reps. They're not doing anything like that. And that was much of what I said about Mason last year. But this is the reason why they had enough on Dobbs, at least where he looked okay that preseason. The following preseason, he loses his job to Mason Rudolph because he wasn't good. There wasn't anything else to say.
That's the word to use. He wasn't very good.
And against JV competition, no less, Brian.
Yep.
So I'm trying to find. I had the statistics here. I had it in the article that I just wrote the other day, and I'll pull it up here in a second. It wasn't pretty when it came to preseason stats, and it's against the JV type competition, but they were able to trade him for a draft pick to Jacksonville, who was very quarterback poor and desperate. Nick Foles had gotten hurt early last year. That's the guy they signed to maybe be their guy, and he didn't last there after 1 year, and nor did Josh Dobbs. He went into their training camp this year. Whatever you had, you didn't have a preseason, and they felt better with Jake Luton that we saw when the Steelers played the Jaguars. They felt better with him. Obviously, he got an opportunity because Gardner Minshew got hurt. They felt better with him. And Dobbs did not keep a job there. But the Steelers brought him back. He knows the system. Still an athletic guy, but holding on to the ball too long, maybe using his feet too much and things of that nature. And he's not the guy that they invested the third-round pick moving up a little bit for that they had the first-round grade of from that quarterback class a couple of years ago that featured Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and then the other guy that I don't know that's in the NFL anymore, that's Josh Rosen. So you have things like that. I'm just sick of hearing the quarterback stuff when it comes to this. Mason is the clear-cut number two. He wears number two, and that's why he is the guy that's coming in with Ben sitting out, rightfully so. How do you feel? I know you don't have a problem with Mason being the guy coming in, Brian, but the smart money is on having Ben not play this game. Let him sit.
Absolutely. No, don't. I don't even want Ben in Cleveland.
That I said that, didn't I not?
Yes.
Because he goes to the airport, he touches his mouth or something, and the mask is off. And
keep him home.
And he's on the COVID list. Yeah.
Yeah, put him in a bubble. Let him stay in that bubble and do exactly what Tomlin said and you know, whatever it is, transport him directly into next season or next, you know, the next game into the playoffs. This should be Rudolph and Dobbs, and that's it. End of story. If they win, great. If they don't, who cares at this point? I'll enjoy laughing heartily if Mason Rudolph stops the Browns from being in the playoffs. I will laugh. I will laugh loudly. I will call people I know who are Browns fans and mock them to their face over the phone on purpose because that's ridiculous. No, I don't think Mason Rudolph is a great quarterback. I don't, but I think this is what he's here for, to be an adequate backup and fill in when necessary. So,
well, you get to see how capable he is, but again, how much of a test is this against a team that is fighting for their playoff lives in a must-win situation for the Cleveland Browns?
Oh, absolutely. They absolutely must.
Where the Steelers are sitting some of their players, and I heard some people say, well, they're only sitting Marquise Pouncey. Oh, only. We only saw how that worked with J.C. Hassenauer in and Ben getting hit around like a pinata and missed the three-game losing streak there. That was not the coolest thing to be seeing, was Pouncey on the COVID list there. I got the preseason stats, Brian, since there wasn't one this previous season. You had Mason Rudolph was 28 of 43, 65.1 completion percentage, 368 yards, 4 TDs to 1 interception. He only took 2 sacks for 10 yards, a 113.3 QB rating versus the 57.6 that was Josh Dobbs, completing 10% fewer of his passes. He attempted 10 fewer as well for only 280 yards, no scores, 2 picks, took 3 sacks for 27 yards, and that was right on par with Devlin Hodges, who took 3 sacks as well during that preseason, lost 29 yards. Devlin Hodges completed 2% fewer passes on 5 more attempts, but he was 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio, and that's the reason why he was able to stick around and get a job. Somebody had mentioned or pointed out, well, maybe the opportunity wasn't quite there. I'd pulled these numbers before. Dobbs had 80 offensive plays that preseason to Rudolph 76 and Hodges 74. So they were almost all the way across the board. All things being equal, they had the same type of opportunities. Dobbs started one game, Rudolph started another game, and then Dobbs yet started the next, not the dress rehearsal. The dress rehearsal, he got in with the eventual grocery baggers or whatever you want to call them. I hate saying that about everybody, but it is what it is. The business of the NFL, there's only room for so many guys. So he was the guy that was the third string in that game, but then he got the first string on the week 4, which I don't know what that really means either, because then everybody's sitting when they usually play the Panthers down in Carolina or elsewhere and everything like that. So anyways, they gotten to see Dobbs a couple of times in very short regular season stints. They got to see Mason all of last year, and this kind of turns around to something that I wanted to bring up, where some folks were talking about Ben calling plays still on the sideline in Cleveland Sunday, and that's where I came up with the I don't even want him there. No, just leave these guys at home. Leave TJ at home. Leave Cam Hayward at home. Pouncey. Those are the 4, right? Is there one more that's sitting?
I think that's it.
That's it. That's all that's been announced. They only have so many inactive spots. They may have a few guys that are actually hurt that need to take up some of that space. I would assume that James Conner and or Juju Smith-Schuster are on a pitch count as well. So it's going to look a lot, very lot similar to the bad game that I bring up with Mason Rudolph, that Thursday night football game, short week, set up for failure, go to the road on the road against Cleveland. They lose Conner in that game. Conner, not even half game. Deontay played 51% of the snaps, if I recall correctly. Conner, it played maybe about a quarter. Juju a little bit more than that. All those guys were taken off the field at one point or another. Mason Rudolph throws 4 picks, 2 of them intended for Tevin Jones, or Tevin Jones, if you happen to remember that name. If you don't, then there's a reason why. I know you would, but maybe some of our listeners are like, who the heck is that? Well, that's why he didn't last much longer after that. Ye old Butterfingers. I can't remember if I know Dante Moncrief was responsible for something along the lines there, but if you go back and you look at Mason's numbers from the 2019 season, especially before he got clocked, I mean, he had a 5-3 record, but he wasn't the one responsible for the 3-game skid that saw them miss the playoffs at the end of the season. That was solely on Duck Hodges. He came in during the Jets game and then got his collarbone broken because B.J. Finney happened. So you're talking about another backup center in that situation, not making a key or critical block. He was 14-20 in that game, 70% of his passes completed for 129 yards and a touchdown. He took 1 sack for 9 yards. It seems to be the big thing. He'll move up in the pocket and they don't lose as many yards. It seems to be the common theme when I look at how many yards he's lost on sacks, as opposed to guys who try and run and make something of it and then there's a bigger loss. and a bigger hole to climb out of. But he completed the one touchdown pass. I think it was it Deontay or James Washington, one or the other. He may have those guys, similar cast on the field. He obviously should have some sort of rapport having played in college with James Washington. But you take out the four interception Cleveland debacle where nothing was working great. And Cleveland still only won 21-7 in that game. He threw 13 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. You take the 4 out, that's 13-5 in any other game, because obviously, he did throw a touchdown in Cleveland, so it's 12-5. It's a pretty good ratio, even though the offense, for the most part, was sputtering after he took the big Earl Thomas hit. Looked like he was a little skittish coming back against the Miami Dolphins a few weeks later. And we also saw Duck Hodges struggle, and then everybody a week ago wanted Ben to retire. And now they're mad that Mason's going to play, but they want Hodges, but they forgot how poorly Hodges was playing at the end of the year. The interceptions he threw in that Bills game on Sunday night that cost them. And all of this, I'm putting into a big pot of stew, and I'm asking the question here, is it the quarterbacks? Maybe in Hodges' case, I mean, we're talking about an FCS guy. I love my FCS football guys. He's from Samford, air raid offense. I gave him a lot of props. Very gutsy. Probably did better than a lot of guys would do in his situation, even having been from bigger colleges. However, how much of this is on a guy like Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges, or even Ben Roethlisberger with the slumps in the offense versus the play calling of Randy Fichtner? Did Randy get into they criticized these guys last year. We said all these same things. Dink and duck, dink and dunk, blah, or duck. It works that way too.
It works either way.
Yeah. Yeah. No run game. No vertical game. How much of this is Randy Fichtner is the common denominator going into this Browns game? I'm not sure that Mason's the one that I have a trust issue with versus the offensive coordinator.
Well, I don't know that I have a trust issue with Mason Rudolph. I don't have a lot of faith in Mason Rudolph, but that's a different story. I think it's a very fair question. We've asked it many times, and you know Ben gets asked it all the time too. And in his interviews this week, he said things like, "Oh, it's Randy just calls the plays, and it's up to us to execute them. And when they don't work, it's not his fault; it's our fault." But that's what he's supposed to say. The problem is, there's only so much you can do to execute a play when everyone on the field knows that play is coming, both sides of the ball, you know, as well as the guys in the other, you know, on the other bench. Everybody's looking at it going, we know exactly what they're going to run. And then you run it, and of course it's going to fail. You can't do that kind of stuff. Do I think Randy's got, look, I I'm not a fire them all and move on kind of guy, but I think maybe – maybe
they don't
Randy,
have to fire him.
No, I know.
Yeah.
It's just maybe Randy should not be retained.
Well, yeah,
that's
what the situation we're at, because his contract's going to expire.
Yeah, I just think maybe it's time. And I understand Ben loves him. He's his buddy. He's his pal. Oh, he's my buddy. He's my pal. They eat paste together, whatever. I don't know. But, at some point you have to go, man, it's just been bad. This has not been a marriage that has gone well. So I don't, you know, the big worry was Ben was just going to do whatever he wanted, period. The problem is, I don't think Ben does whatever he wants. When he does do whatever he wants, they tend to look better.
And to a degree, and it's still the playbook, and I don't see the playbook changing any heading into this game, and I don't think they want to risk getting anybody like Connor hurt. They'll probably see Benny Snell. And I was going to ask you, just based on the cast of characters that we're kind of anticipating seeing play in this game, at least on the offensive side of the ball, what is really much different than last year's games, aside from the fact that Duck Hodges did, in fact, beat the Cleveland Browns several weeks later with Tony Brooks James getting some carries, Trey Edmonds, Deion Kane is another guy, Johnny Holton. These are all guys that aren't even on the roster anymore, or in Edmonds' case, he's on injured reserve. Is the talent a little bit better here as a supporting cast? It's still some of the backups. And trust me, I was listening to some of these Cleveland guys talk about this game. They don't think this is a shoo-in either, and I know they haven't lost. They're getting all these big names back, Wyatt Teller, their center. All these guys are supposed to be practicing on Thursday here, but as we know, the facility closed where they practice. It's not the stadium. This is their practice facilities. They have like a headquarters and home separate, just like the Steelers do, that's away from Heinz Field. This is away from First Energy. So they're doing whatever. They're quarantining. They're cleaning things down. I think they got a Wednesday night practice in regardless. And then one guy practiced. The other guy was already a close contact situation that tested positive. I know some people are worried. Well, this is a whole other train of thought, too. So let's talk about the guys that are coming back. Last week when they lost to the Jets, they were without a starting center. They were without Jedrick Wills, who is their left tackle rookie. Both of those guys were on the COVID, IR, whatever, and had to – they weren't test positive. They were contact traces. So it wasn't like Vince Williams sitting a little longer, Marquise Pouncey sitting a little longer, and Vance McDonald. These were some of the guys that just had to sit, wait, test negative a few times. They get to return. All the wide receivers practically, Rashard Higgins, Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry is still a guy that pretty much, I think he cheats. He has some type of, he has the Spider-Man things that come off of his fingers, and he could just, anything that goes his way, he catches. We saw a catch earlier in the year where we thought they had a replay of it, and it was like, yeah, he probably caught it. I'd probably give him the benefit of the doubt, just like he used to give Antonio Clown, I mean, Brown. And it's just, all those things aren't necessarily looking good for the Steelers, but at the same time, these guys sat out a week, for better or for worse. They lost and got pushed around by the Jets. Baker Mayfield wasn't able to let it happen just on his own. The Jets shut down that the run game. Chubb and Hunt should have been able to run all over those guys, and they didn't. And then they weren't able to do anything in the passing game as well. So I guess we're going to see how that all matches up. They're going to get some of these COVID guys back. But I know the concern for a lot of people is – well, the Browns should have to forfeit. When have you seen the NFL do anything with a forfeit this year? They move heaven and earth and mountains, particularly if you're from Baltimore, to make sure the game is played and played in your favor. Now, they didn't do that with the Browns last week. They obviously didn't do that with the Denver Broncos not having any quarterbacks. Kendall? And they put he gets in the Hall of Fame just for being a player that wasn't a quarterback that had to play quarterback attempts and passes. This game's going to get played. They can't afford to allow it, I think, to move from Sunday, because in this unique situation in Week 17, everybody else is trying to decide what to do, and that's why they're putting these games all on at the same time. So you can't have the Dolphins, for example, know that they're in at 4:30 and then just sit there, guys, and get a rest and have a competitive advantage for the wild card the following week. They're all going to play at the same time. I don't anticipate anything where they move this game, and I know there's some other people that say, well, maybe the Steelers should forfeit. There's some concern that they could have somebody could catch COVID, okay? We haven't seen that happen anywhere in the league from a game situation this season. Everybody gets all these tests, and then pretty much everybody is sequestered if they happen to throw up a red flag. So they even had Marlon Humphrey, for example, that we know for a fact the Steelers played against, and then the next day his results come back Monday morning from Sunday before the game, where, you know, I don't know if he's symptomatic, asymptomatic, whatever be the case, could have spread it to other people and didn't. Now, I'm not saying this doesn't happen, but I think there are certain guys that you just keep completely away from this for injury or ending up on this list. Like we mentioned, all the guys that are being ruled out, keep Ben in Pittsburgh, keep TJ in Pittsburgh. I know TJ was in a position maybe to put up some more historic numbers, this and that. He should have Defensive Player of the Year already on lock for all the categories that he's leading in. So that's kind of my thing here, Brian. I think the game just goes – the game goes – as planned. There may be some more hiccups with Cleveland, and I think the concern is more on Cleveland's end, because this is a game they must win. You think they played the Jets and lost, and that is not sitting too well, because they could have. If Miami had lost to the Raiders, they get in. They beat the Jets, they get in. These things aren't falling in place. It feels like Kevin Stefanski and all these things that are going on up there are trending in the right direction. They're a 10-win football team that just lost to a 1-win football team. And now, if they lose to Steelers backups, COVID situations or not, they're going to fall. They would fall out of the postseason more than likely. There's still some other scenarios on the books where I think the Colts lose and somebody else, maybe the Titans or something else. And they could. I think the Dolphins and the Colts would both have to lose, and they could still make it in. But that's not going to sit too well if they lose to Mason Rudolph, who they beat up on, and lose to the Steelers. and lose to the Steelers backups when all of this seemed to be trending upward, it could be trending downward. And if they find themselves behind in this game, I think that's going to play into their heads a little bit. There's a lot of pressure on them to win this game, and even more so when they know that they may not be going up against the A team.
Yeah, there's a ton. Look, this is, you know, you play all year to have your I guess you know, your destiny in your own hands. They have their destiny in their hands. They win, and I think they're in. They have to win, though. Any other circumstance, and now they're depending on others. You know, they have a very bad taste in their mouths because of how they lost the game to the Jets. You know, Baker's crying in his coffee about how he's so, you know, he let the team down and all that crap. I don't care. Go, you know, maybe he was holding the grocery bags too long and, you know, that's why he's fumbling. I don't know.
Well, can we talk about that play at the end of the Jets? They had the 4th and 1 that they went for. Sure. And we always talk about quarterback draws, quarterback sneaks. Terry had mentioned, Terry, who does the WTF thing here, had mentioned about Big Ben actually sneaking the ball in their last contest at Heinz Field, in which the Steelers thoroughly dominated. But, again, a different Steelers team at that point. They still had Bud Dupree, Devin Bush. There wasn't Nick Chubb on the other side of the field. And then you're going to take out some other players, such as Ben Roethlisberger, et cetera, that we mentioned. But Baker goes pretty much a little quarterback sneak there. And they're under, is it the 4-minute or the 2-minute mark where – I think it was under two minutes for sure. It's the holy roller rule. There was a fumble and a lost ball, and Hunt grabbed it and advanced it, but the original guy must take it. Yeah, the original guy has to get it in order to advance it, and where Baker had fumbled, he was short of the line to gain and game over, and that's why he's saying he's let his fans down. Please commence, my friend. I just wanted to fill in the blank there.
So it's all good. He's, you know, my point is he's just, you know, whatever the reason, he's doing too many damn commercials, which I'm tired of anyway. But they do need to win this game. There's much more. This is the perfect example of one team can play as loose as they want to. There is absolutely no expectations on the Steelers to win this game. There's no expectations on Mason Rudolph to perform fantastically. They're not under pressure at all. The Browns are. If they blow this game, if they let Mason Rudolph and a team of backups, you know, find a way to win in Cleveland at home. I know it's, you know, it's not the same as it would have been, but still, get embarrassed in your own house after losing to the Jets. You know, that's an ugly way to end the season. So there's pressure on them.
How many times have teams played the Steelers been I'm going to just use the word embarrassed. It doesn't have to be a blowout, but an embarrassment would be just losing this, I think, and falling out of the playoffs for if you're Cleveland, and then the coaches get fired. I don't think Stefanski's going anywhere. I'm not saying that.
No, I think he's done well enough that he's going to stay.
That's where their season ends, and now you start to question. You think you have your coach, but you had the skid and couldn't get it done. You think you had your quarterback. You had the skid and didn't get it done. You know, it's a whole different narrative than if they do make the postseason. And let's say they just handle the Steelers. Let's say they put up 30 and the Steelers, like, put up 10 points. How much of a disappointment would you have with the Steelers, depending on how the score falls here? Right now, what did we say? It's Steelers are 9-point underdogs. The over-under has been changing. In fact, it looks like it just changed again. It's 42 now, which... You know, it makes me wonder because depending on which – if Randy was really responsible, like Big Ben said, in helping orchestrate that comeback against the Colts last week, which he could have been. He sees some things. Maybe he's in his ear. I know they ran no huddle, and that's a whole different thing. And you could see it. Ben's like, Deontay stops for a second. He makes sure he gets the right instructions to him before he goes out there. He gives him a route, and then that's it. You know, he's drawing it in the dirt, and I don't know that Mason is – he could surprise us. We don't know that.
Right.
Browns have safeties all over the place. They may get Carl Joseph back. They may not. Who's our other guys? Is it Harrison? I don't want to get confused with the tight end. Bryant's out. He's the younger tight end, but he's not, you know, he's been a spot starter. They still have Austin Hooper and David Njoku. Oh, geez. Harrison Smith? Is that who I'm looking for? Or Sendeo. Maybe it was Sendeo. There was somebody else that was just
Harrison Bryant.
Harrison Bryant's the tight end. There's somebody else I'm missing here. I'm going to pull
Malcolm Smith, Sendejo, BJ Goodson is the other starter that's going to be definitely out.
Yes. Yeah. BJ Goodson actually tested positive, so he's not a contract trace with the hope of having him come back. Ronnie Harrison. But now that I'm thinking about it, I think Sendejo may have been the guy who ended up here. Now I got to see. Now I'm going to have to look and see on their website, because I hate when I hear something and then I give it wrong to the folks out there. So,
well, that's what I'm looking at. According to Trotter, Jake Trotter of ESPN, it's Goodwin, Smith, Sendejo, and Harrison Bryant are definitely out.
Okay. So Sendejo is a free safety there. So that's one guy in the secondary that's out that may bode well, you know, in their favor, you know, as far as the Steelers having any semblance of offense. I don't know how much we're going to see. I don't know. Will we see Eric Ebron? I mean, you know, you can't go too far down the tight end chain here. You got Vance, and then that's it. I don't know if Kevin Rader's back on the roster yet or not. Zach Gentry's been on IR. So, you know, I'm just looking at how many different moving parts do you have. I think the whole offensive line just stays there. I think Hassenauer will be the center. Dotson, does he still play? And Wolf was talking about this. Craig Wolfley was talking about this on the Steelers Nation Radio, and he said he didn't look like he had the same amount of punch. He had the hurt shoulder. Is that a guy that you're going to monitor or have somebody else play in place? You know, I don't know that you want Mason Rudolph to exit the season with another broken collarbone either, especially going into the playoffs. You know how that might work. So
probably you don't.
No, you probably don't. And for a young man that might be trying to vie for some potential future NFL gig, either life after Big Ben or going somewhere else to compete, that would just be even more devastating to see him get injured or rocked again. And he had a bad enough year last year. Yeah. So, I mean, you look at some of these – some of the different storylines. Okay, officially activated, Rashard Higgins is here. Kaderil Hodge, Jarvis Landry, Donovan Peoples-Jones was the other one. He's also a special teamer. He's usually their punt or kick return specialist. And Jacob Phillips, who I believe is just a reserve linebacker, special teamer type. So Denzel Ward has just been added to this list as well, Brian. As of 4:15 here on New Year's Eve, there's one of your starting corners. And, you know, Malcolm Smith is another kind of role player type guy. He backs up Sione Takitaki. B.J. Goodson is out as a starting middle linebacker. Jacob Phillips, starting will linebacker on the depth chart here. So he was just reactivated. So they get one linebacker back and one linebacker down, getting a safety back, losing a safety, and now maybe losing a corner. This is the kind of things that make you a little jittery if you're a Cleveland Browns fan. If you're a Steelers fan,
sure.
I say you could talk all the smack you want with your Browns friends, family, wherever you may be. As most people who have listened a long time here, my wife's a Browns fan. I'm from originally Northeast Ohio, right in between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, if you were to draw a diagonal line, right smack dab in the middle. So half my family and friends, you know, it's a true house divided type situation between Steelers and Browns fans talking smack. One of my former jobs I used to work at, one of the warehouses, always used to be fun. They would have stuff up on the walls and things like that back when these games were fairly competitive. It loses a little bit of steam with the smack talk situation, because on one side, somebody's going to say, well, we lost all these players to COVID and it just wasn't whatever. On the other side, it's like, hey, we've got our backups playing. You know what I mean? It loses a little bit of gusto. I say, just go out there, watch it, enjoy it. Don't get any anxiety over it. The Steelers have won the division. The Steelers are playing in the playoffs. More than likely, if everything shakes out the way it already is and you see Miami, Cleveland, and Baltimore win, then I think those are the teams that are all coming into the wild card spots, and you're probably looking at a rematch against the Ravens. But there's no reason to have Ben playing this game just so you could have bragging rights. You want to be able to have them healthy and ready to go for the playoff haul. Hopefully there's no rust when they get to a wild card game, and it's going to be at home, and we still don't know if there's going to be fans there. Joe Rutter is reporting that right now, unless some things change and there's things that are supposed to expire with Governor Wolf in the state of Pennsylvania in that regard, right here on Sunday, right when the game's going to be played, and we'll see if anything's extended. But right now the plan is the Steelers aren't selling any tickets. That was the official word coming down from their PR department. It's only going to be friends and family in the lower bowl so far, so you got to hope. And they've only had a maximum at any point of, I think, 5,500 sold, but they didn't even have 5,500 in attendance yet this year. So it's like, do they open the upper deck? Do they let people go nuts and go crazy? There's similar talks up in Buffalo in the state of New York as to whether or not, you know, the Bills are finally going to be hosting some playoff games. And there's talk there between the two dynamics of, well, the Steelers can still play for the two spot. Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been coming in and out for Tua Tagovailoa. I said it right. Damn it, I said it right. That's good. I feel good about
myself. Good
for you. Pat on my back. So Tua was already named the starter. They're going to have Fitzpatrick sit. Well, now he tests positive for COVID. So the reason these things are important, Miami is playing the Bills. Bills are the two seed. We talked about this. The Steelers and Bills have the same record, but the Bills have the head-to-head victory tiebreaker. So if the Bills lose to the Dolphins and the Steelers win, the Steelers jump up to this two spot. What's that really do for them? Well, they end up playing maybe a worser team. That could be the Browns, could be a rematch of the Browns. But I'm not anticipating any of these things shaking out. It may entitle you to another home playoff game, but who's to say the Bills win their wild card game? They could lose, the Steelers advance, then they're the top seed surviving and still host the playoff game. There's really no real risk or no real reason. There's no more two seed bye week. And I think some people aren't aware of that, or they've forgotten about that. The only team that's getting the bye is the Kansas City Chiefs. The top team in each conference, NFC, AFC, gets the bye. There's literally no reason to try and jump the Bills for number two, because even if you do end up on a road game up in Buffalo, if they don't allow fans there, what kind of home field advantage is that? Minimal.
We did. Yeah, it's minimal.
Maybe
we
weather.
Talked about that. But at the same time, how much, I mean, you get the lake weather and stuff like that, or you know, stuff off of Niagara and all those kind of things. But, you know, how much different is the weather really between Buffalo and Pittsburgh? It's cold in both places.
It can be. It can be very similar, and you still got the rivers there. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's colder in Buffalo. It's colder in Cleveland. Cleveland could be miserable on Sunday, too, especially if it rains.
Come on. Cleveland's miserable 100%.
Well, that's very true. That is true. And I saw a meme. There were some people. They did the guy who's looking at the girl in the red dress, looking away from the other one. So this one, then the blue dress was the 10-win Browns team. And then it said City of Cleveland or Cleveland fans, and then they were looking at the 3-0 Cavs. Or were the 3-0 Cavs? And it's just looking away. It's like, well, who cares? It's the Cavs. And being a Cavs fan, you know, they suck. Pittsburgh doesn't have basketball.
I don't think I've ever told you this story. So, you know, I'm originally from Ohio. I'm from Dayton, where you are right now.
Yeah.
And at one point, I got a job, and I got a job in Cleveland.
Okay.
So I went up to Cleveland to move there.
Oh, I was there a day. No, you can't do
that. I was there a day. I went, screw the job, screw it, and I left. That's how bad Cleveland was back then. I don't know. I'm sure it's much nicer now.
There's redeemable places in Cleveland. I don't want to completely trounce them, but it's the fact of the matter is they only see sun for like 6 weeks out of the year out of 52. I mean, it's just it's a dark, dismal place at times, and their own people embrace that, and that's kind of the mentality. And their fans,
and they're dark and
hey,
dismal.
You know what? I throw a lot of shade. I'm very biased, as anybody would have guessed. I'm black and gold through and through. It's just the deal with Cleveland is, it's like I like to throw my shade at the Browns, and I'll give them some props here and there. I've already given the props to Stefanski. We didn't really talk Steelers defense against Browns offense, because I think in Stefanski's role, his role is to limit how many mistakes Baker Mayfield may be capable of making. Now, don't get me wrong. I think they went with the right choice taking Mayfield over Sam Darnold. At least initially from what we see, but we still see some limitations. We still see some growing pains. These are teams that have new coaching staffs and things installed without a traditional off season. It's taken them some time to grow, but in the same aspect, Brian, I look at this team and I say, I saw Duck Hodges beat almost this same team last year with Freddie Kitchens as their head coach. And then, I saw the way the Browns or the Steelers just completely manhandled the Browns at home. I know they're playing with some backups, but I think, like you're saying, one team could play a little loose. They don't have the pressure. Pressure creates some mistakes. They get to play in front of their home fans. Their home fans will boo them right out of the stadium. They're just as loyal and diehard about it. It happened. I was there when Eric Mangini got fired the next day. They got embarrassed up there in the Steelers. I mean, it was like 14-0 in the first 3 minutes or so. Troy Polamalu picked six. So I've been up there enough times. There's some great people up there, and then there's, you know, your usual, you know, jag-offs that you get even when somebody has throws back a little bit too much of grandpa's cough medicine and then attends the game. And, you know, it's a feel-good story if Cleveland does make the playoffs. And on another hand, you had all of these critics come out of the woodwork and say the Steelers were the worst 11-0 team, and look, haha, they've been exposed, they're a fraud. And I'm like, Baltimore and Cleveland are playing the same schedule. I'm just sitting there, you know, holding the sandwich board on a street corner to announce it to the world. Like, come on, folks. I do think that it'll be a fun matchup. We'll see what happens. The Steelers' defense, I think, is still, even with the backups, they're deep. They're capable. We don't know what's happening with Spillane yet. I don't think he's on deck to be playing this week. I think they're going to hold him a little bit. And it would be surprising how much he does end up playing. Vince Williams plays an entire game. We mentioned that. 100% snap counts after coming off the COVID list. The guy had to be exhausted. Somebody said he was sucking oxygen on the sideline. He had the mask on. So we'll see how this happens. But I think the Steelers, this is a bad matchup for the Browns, regardless of how many people are sitting for the Steelers. In the same way we said that there's been bad matchups, the Steelers matching up against the Washington football team. It looks very much in the same type of situation where I think the Steelers are still going to be capable of stopping the run. And if they force Baker Mayfield to pass, you still got guys like Cam Sutton or Steven Nelson, you know, that are very much so capable of not only slapping the ball down to the ground or being tight in coverage, but getting turnovers or maybe making a splash play. And we could go back years of this now where you get to week 17 against the Browns and Landry Jones, the GOAT of all the backups, comes in and he leads an overtime walk-off touchdown deep pass to Kobe Hamilton. You had Landry handle him the 1 year. You had Juju Smith-Schuster return a kick for a touchdown. You had so many crazy and wild things happen in these games. And even last year, Duck Hodges getting it done too, with a band of misfit toys as your players. So I'm going to have fun watching this. I hope if I end up there, I'm not ridiculed too much by some idiots that just don't realize what they're watching, because I'm just going to sit and enjoy, and I'm not the guy that's going to be waving my towel in someone's face. I have to bring it because of superstition, but I have to guard it because one of those jerks will pull it right out from your pants pocket or your shorts, and then it ends up in the bathroom in one of the stalls, and that's not something you ever want to see there up in Cleveland.
No, not at all, and you don't – You don't want any reason for any of them to be grabbing in your pockets to begin with.
Oh, hey, let's talk about another X factor for this game. Let's talk special teams real quick.
Sure.
You know why? Because they got Cody Parkey as their kicker. And Chris Boswell is coming back off of an injury, and we'll see how well he's able to play and if that's nagging or bothering him. Either one of those. I talked about weather. I talked about the lake. I talked about the January effect, the New Year's effect up in Cleveland. Coming right off the lake there. You got the winds that are whipping around. Hey, don't put it to the pass that both offenses stink up the joint or both defenses end up locking down. We saw the Browns' defense wasn't too strong against the Ravens, you know, a few weeks ago, and then they were suspect against the Jets team. I still think with the Steelers' backups and some of the role players they have mainly on defense, and don't forget the Jets were without some players as well. I just look at it the same way. There's still a chance here. I'm not throwing in my hat and just saying this is a throwaway game. I'm not demanding, I'm not entitled to a victory. But as you said, I will laugh heartily if it ends up happening.
That's exactly my position. I don't expect a victory. I'm not going into this demanding a victory. But if we get one, happy days. And if we don't, guess what? We're still in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it would
and
be
still a, division champs. So
it would be, and it would be a hell of a morale boost in the entire locker room. All these guys are going to be on a high,
absolutely,
absolute high with momentum. If the Steelers backups end up getting the the job done. So we'll end up seeing what happens. Some other news here. TJ Watt named the team MVP. That should have been a no-brainer. Yeah, should have been a no-brainer, and he should be defensive MVP. I don't think him sitting out in this game should, as I mentioned a little bit, I glossed over it earlier, should not affect his standing to be defensive player of the year.
Shouldn't. It absolutely shouldn't, but, you know, he should have won it last year, so.
Jerome Boger is the referee, so somehow still dodged Cleet Blakeman and Tony Corrente until the playoffs. But Jerome, there's another guy that sometimes looks a little lost on the field. So love his accent when he talks into the microphone, but you just never know what you're going to get with the Zebras there. And,
period. Yes. End that statement right there. You never know what you're going to get with any of them. Forget it.
Brian, how big is the Mason Rudolph versus Miles Garrett storyline that Mike Tomlin and Kevin Stefanski refuse to acknowledge?
How big is it? It will be mentioned 100 million times on the broadcast by whoever the broadcasters are.
Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, and Evan Washburn.
They will mention that so often that we may have to mute the TV. Is it a storyline within the teams themselves? I don't think it is at all. I think it's a non-issue. I don't think that there's anything going on there as far as that. But, you know, we will hear about it. We will hear about it for every moment. If Garrett sacks Rudolph, oh, that's a revenge sack. You know, he really doesn't like him from last year. It's all going to be that way, and we just have to deal with it.
I think Garrett will get to him. It'll be interesting, the exchange between them. Are we going to see, yeah, like, are we going to see Miles put his hand out and then help Rudolph back up off the turf after he drags him there? Or
no,
he just don't put your hand in the cookie jar again, man. Just leave it out of there and we'll be all good. Go celebrate off behind and people are going to go nuts. And now I'm starting to question, how many times do I get to wear this, though? Really preseason. I mean, I got it last year as kind of the gag, and I had a Hodges one that's collecting moths now. So it's like, I like to support my guys, but, you know, I may be considering this. I don't know. I may reconsider it. Somebody will probably throw a beer at me for sure. We'll find out.
Okay.
We'll find out for sure. So, the only prediction I had was I think the Steelers can pull it off. I'm not expecting it. It's what I put in an article. I didn't write one last week because I could not. It was Christmas, number one. Number two, I couldn't predict what the heck they were going to do. The team was so unpredictable at that point, and they're still unpredictable at this point. So, hey, the best I could tell you is that, yeah, Mason's going to come in there, and he's going to have 100-and-some QB rating and throw and toss for 3 TDs, and they're going to stomp a mud hole in the Browns ad nauseum. I don't think
so. I've learned something about you over the last few days through our conversations in the back rooms at SCU.
What's that?
Something I didn't know about you prior to this. You, sir, are a cockeyed optimist. You are. And this is why. The only way that you can love the ending of Wonder Woman 84 is if you're a cockeyed optimist. You, sir, are a cockeyed optimist.
That is why you
can look at this game and say, yay, we're going to win. I'm not a cockeyed optimist. I'm not a negative guy. I don't think negative thoughts generally, but I'm not a cockeyed optimist. But I will tell you this.
It's completely the opposite of people who really do know me. Sometimes they say I'm too negative and too much of a pessimist and just complain and whine too much about different things. So, glass half empty, half full, right?
You show your true colors in the SCU back rooms. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, every now and then. I could be a spark plug. Yeah, the Wonder Woman thing, it's like, come on, people. You have better things to complain about. I've seen far worse movies.
I didn't think it was terrible. I just, like I said, I tend to view that without spoiling the ending for anybody who hasn't seen it. I don't have that much faith in humanity. I think most people are.
Yeah. That's definitely when you get to see that. No, that did kind of rub me the other way too. But I don't know. I think I've seen everybody come together. We're ready to say goodbye to 2020 and Happy New Year to you, Brian. Happy New Year
to
all of our
and everybody
listeners,
else. Yep.
Viewers. Supporters, everything else, and hope you have a good new year. Hope the game doesn't disappoint you too much. Don't beat yourself up over it. Heck, if you don't even watch it, you may be better off. Who knows? You may not miss anything. So
No, that's not an option.
That's not us. No, that's not an option for us. But for some people, in fact, more than likely, and if you're still here, like that one guy,
it's
was
not an
about,
option. Yeah.
If you're the 5% of people still watching at this point, you're probably, there's no way in hell you're not watching the game, and you're probably going to rewatch it anyways, DVR it or watch on the Game Pass or something like that. So,
yeah,
and maybe even watch some film. So, Happy New Year to everyone. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Brian, my good friend, my buddy, my pal, my chum, thank you for joining me once again.
Always a pleasure. My brother from another mother, may you have an enjoyable New Year. I'm sure you've got some milkshake beers left over from your Advent calendar.
No. And you know what? You were with Zach. Let me explain that for the people who may have lost. I'm a craft beer connoisseur.
Yes,
and I picked up some of the variants, including the original, the regular Bourbon County Stout from Goose Island. That they dropped those out on Black Friday. I was able to obtain like 4 of the 6 or 8 of them that are out there. That's what I'll be partaking in. And the milkshake stouts were from a brewery in Auburn Hills, Michigan, Rochester Mills. I'll give a little shout out here. I don't think you'll find these sets anywhere, but it was a 12-pack of pint cans, and they were all milkshake stouts, and it was the 12 milkshake stouts of Christmas. So that was whatever you want to say, the shtick or the gimmick of selling that. So I was like, oh, 12 days of Christmas, we'll have each one of these. And some were very excellent. Some were not my cup of tea. Like, I'm not an English toffee guy. So there were a couple of them, but I know you're not the big beer drinker, but if anybody ever wants to... if anybody wants to find me, shoot me some messages. Some of the listeners here already follow me. I'm friends with on the Untappd app, and they'll all think now that I am a raging alcoholic. So
I don't think that at all. Once you inform me that sometimes your samplings are little teeny tiny samplings, I felt better about it, because there were too many of those. I've just tapped in with the Tappd app. And it was like 17 in a row. I'm like, dude, if you're kicking about that many beers in a row, you got to be unconscious, or you have the superhuman, alcohol.
Yeah,
strength.
The unfortunate side effect of being on the app is that some of it goes on to Twitter. So the people who are following me for the Steelers thing also see, man, this guy needs help. I'm doing sometimes they're little 5-ouncers, or I'm sharing a drink. Not as much, obviously, in recent times, but I may be with some buddies and we're sharing the drinks and taking some pours. And if there's something absolutely that I don't care for, I don't force myself to drink it just because I spent whatever on it. It goes right down the sink, man, down the drain. So
I'm hopeful that, now that New Jersey, the state that I live in, I refuse to call it my home state because it's not my home state, but it's the state I live in. Now that that state has legalized the ganja, so that starting tomorrow, it's legal in this state. I'm hopeful that next Christmas there will be the 12 days of milkshake ganja or something. And then I'll do that. I'll partake. That way. Alcohol is nasty. I can't.
You know what? I'm the complete opposite way, man. I'm not into the wacky tobacco. So you could, I know that's, they float. Hey, whatever floats your boat, friends.
I'm really not into it, other than it makes my feet not hurt.
Well, make you see, some people could see straight with it apparently too, but I wouldn't know any of these things. That's what I hear. But anyways, wherever you're celebrating, be safe out there. Don't forget, even in this day and age of COVID and things like that, walk. Just don't pass out somewhere. It's cold in many parts of the country. Or get an Uber if you feel safe with that, with all those things. Or if you're partying right at home, whatever you do, I'm cool with whatever you do. Just do it safely. Don't endanger anyone else, because that's what I will be doing. I will be locked indoors. I'll probably pass out, much like you, before midnight. We're just of that age now.
I'll be in bed at 9:30.
One last thing, because we saved the banter for the post part of this show here. So my mother-in-law and her husband, who's not technically my father-in-law because it's not the father of my wife, and then my sister-in-law, all out to eat recently, and he's talking about he's a big fireworks guy. He puts on these amazing professional type. He has like electronic things that put him off and synced with music and the whole 9 yards. Big fireworks guy. Going to set off some fireworks for New Year's Eve. And my mother-in-law asks, what time are you going to do that? And I bite my tongue, as a good son-in-law would. But my sister-in-law, being her daughter, says, belts it right out. Midnight, duh. What time are you going to set off the fireworks? Well, 7:30 seems like a pretty good time. Now I can get to bed. I won't wake the neighbors. But they live out in like a little bit of like, not necessarily farm, but they got a large property and there's not a whole lot of people to disturb. And hearing good people test their guns and shoot off fireworks and things and explosions, not unheard of in that little part there. So,
Don't do the gun things.
Yeah, shooting guns in the air, I mean, the bullet goes somewhere.
It has to come back down.
Yeah, it's gravity.
Don't do it.
Be a little smarter than that. And yeah. As my uncle used to say, if you got ulterior motives, this is the night to do it. So you might not get caught as much with everyone else shooting off. But a bump. I won't tell you which uncle, but we all have that guy. We all have that uncle. So my name's Joe, not my uncle Brian, over here, over there, that way. We encourage everyone out there, if you listen this far, the 1% who made it, congratulations. Thank you. We already know you're subscribed and like and comment and everything else. We look forward to more of it. Look forward to laughing heartily about this game in the post game come early next week. Enjoy the new year. And by all means, be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.